Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Lim. Today, we're going to talk about the beginning years of the One Thing Global Leadership Summit. The first One Thing Global Leadership Summit was convened in Kansas City with over 450 delegates, leaders from around every continent of the earth. And we're going to explore what are the key elements that the Lord has impressed in our heart to lay as the foundation for this global dialogue for night and day prayer. And together with me is our special guest, Dr. Malachi O'Brien, who is a very avid networker as well as also a revivalist and intercessor. If you ask him, he said his primary occupation will be a revival intercessor. And out of this place, he does everything else, even though he has lots of friends and leaders from around the nation. But to him, his priority is friendship with Jesus.
Amen.
No other priority higher than that priority. And he doesn't just say it. I seen him in the prayer room contending and just crying out for the revival in this nation. And he just came fresh out of a very powerful initiative last night where all the 4,500 campuses in America has been adopted by prayer.
First time ever in the history of America on one single day that every campus in America was covered in prayer. It's never happened before, but yesterday it happened.
That is remarkable. And all of us know that if there is a revolution of the gospel on college campus, the tide of culture and the tide of the thought process and the philosophy of this nation, the heart and mind of this nation will be shifted. So the college campus is a battleground. And that's the reason we decided to host the first leadership summit. We wanted to create a global platform for a dialogue where senior leaders who have been leading from the place of prayer can connect with emerging young leaders from around the nation. And many of them have leadership in young adult ministry. They are young local church pastors and they are college campus leaders. So in 2013, when we sound the trumpet, the Lord sent us all these leaders from around the nation. We hosted about 80 tables and we began to lay some crucial foundation in those global dialogue. I remember very clearly the Lord impressed in our heart one critical pair of element that cannot be separated, word and prayer. So right from the very inception in 2013, Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles say that we must not leave the ministry of the word and prayer in order to serve table. That is not a dichotomy or a contrast between active service and a life of devotion. That is God saying to us, everything must flow out from the word and from prayer. And that word and prayer cannot be separated. So I remember when we launched 24/7 prayer, the charge and the call and the vision to cover the globe with 24/7 in every tongue and tribe, we also invited the Ending the Bible Poverty Movement. I remember Seed Company came in and eventually the American Bible Society came in. They began to join with us in the same heart to get the scripture into every language. And the prayer movement, like the way we adopted the campus, began to adopt all these Bible-less people. I remember they showed us a list of over 1,800 Bible-less people. And in that first leadership summit, more than 300 of those languages were adopted by the prayer movement. And we never looked back ever since. I think at this moment, after 6 years, over 1,000 of those languages have been now adopted for prayer. And both Seed Company and the American Bible Society have a full-time prayer department. Now that is revolution. When you are in a certain specialty ministry and prayer is valuable enough for you to fund full-time staff, and in the case of American Bible Society, I heard they have multiple staff now, more than one staff, that is a statement of value. It's like a local church paying a full-time pastor to lead the prayer department. Now, that is rare.
That is rare. I got to do that for a season at a church in Kansas City, a large church, just to be the prayer pastor.
Yes.
And ultimately, in a church, the pastor has to lead, champion prayer, but just to have that position. Now, you mentioned the Bible translation companies. I'm thinking about, even just because we just got off the Collegiate Day of Prayer, that now some of the major campus ministries like Crew and InterVarsity, they themselves have a individual or two or a team that their sole responsibility is prayer throughout the organization. So something that you never would have thought of 10 years ago is happening today.
There is a normalization of the culture of prayer that's happening across the Western world. And suddenly in the two-third world, the spirit of prayer is much stronger. Now, so in 2013, we actually recognize it's so important to let the word and the prayer be the two key foundation to the leadership summit. And on top of that, we begin to cast the vision that every geographical area of the earth, land, country, county, district, province, based on a certain definition, we at that point of time adopted the world being divided into 4,000 omega zone. It's not important for us to explain what that is right now. The point is that we want every piece of land at a certain manageable size to have people praying on site day and night. Not necessarily in every building, but that in a geographical area. For example, America, we have 50 states, and then we have territories and all that kind of geographical division. So it is very believable and very obtainable to have every single state be covered by 24/7 prayer through a combination and collaborative effort of various local churches and prayer ministry. In fact, we're not far away from that. I suspected that many of the states already have 24/7 prayer coverage. But we want to be intentional. But it's not enough that one country has that. We want every single piece of geographical frontier to be covered with 24/7 prayer. And the reason is we want church planters, local church pastors, compassionate workers, and all the various people who are carrying out the kingdom ministry be serving under the canopy of day and night prayer. There's not one place on the earth where it's not covered. So that is the vision during the first year. And finally, we also believe that even though during daytime in the West, when we're praying, it's nighttime on the other side of the globe. So in other words, if we pray 24/7 in certain geographical area, the other parts of the world are also covered by prayer, by people from other parts of the world. We want local night watchers to emerge out of each geographical reality. So we want night and day prayer on site in those geographical areas. And we talk about linguistic frontier, we talk about geographical frontier, and finally we talk about time frontier, day and night. These are the three things we wanted to tackle during our first year of the Leadership Summit. And so we started off, we launched it, we don't know where the Lord is going to take it. And in 2014, during the second year, we realize that the Lord wants to add two very strong elements. The elements are Israel, the understanding and the centrality of God's plan for Israel, especially as we approach the last days. And the second part is harvest, the connection between 24/7 prayer and global harvest, finishing the Great Commission. So we invited Every Home for Christ and many of these highly evangelistic ministry into the dialogue. And we recognize that when prayer is joined together with cutting-edge evangelistic ministry, the fruits of those who come to know the Lord and be baptized in the Spirit and baptized in water increases, not just by addition, sometimes exponentially. And that's quite remarkable. At the same time, you know, Israel is quite a controversial subject. Not controversial from the Bible standpoint, but from cultural and societal standpoint. So as we begin to engage this subject and pray for the salvation of the people of Israel, along with the people from the nation, there is that panoramic view of God's grand plan that's not decoupled from the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a unity of the scripture involved there. So that was the second year, 2014. And 2015, the third year, It was very interesting because we realized that this summit is really about the next generation emerging leaders being released, being empowered, being inspired to take their place and move forward. So we highlighted this topic on how do we empower the emerging leaders and what are the elements they need in order to move forward. So there's a lot of emphasis around connecting the emerging generation leaders who are 35 and under, and also the leaders who have been serving for decades in the body of Christ, who have a lot of experience, who have won a lot of battle, and they are ready to pass on their experience to the emerging generation leaders. So we begin to invite emerging leaders into the dialogue, and we flip the composition of the summit from majority senior leaders to majority emerging leaders. And we have never turned back since then. So from 2016, 17, 18, Malachi, mm-hmm. you and Jim Stern has been invited as part of the flip from senior leaders to emerging leaders becoming the face and the leaders of the Leadership Summit. And both of you were so ideal at that point of time. It was so obvious to all of us because both of you were local church pastors and you were in different streams. And you were more evangelical, and Jim was a non-denominational charismatic leader. And both of you are core, have the core value of the culture of prayer. That is so remarkable. If we squeeze you, prayer would come out. But yet you come from very different tradition at the same time. So maybe share with us from your vantage point, when you come in strong, even though during the first year you were already observing and then participating as you begin to take on leadership.
Yeah, so when I came into the Global Leadership Summit, and again, as people who are listening to this podcast, they may have never been to a summit. That's why we're doing this podcast, because we want to continue to carry the conversation, provide value and equip and inspire, because everybody who listens is a part of this story. Yes. In some way, shape, or form. Now, when I came in and becoming a part helped me realize a few things. There's a much bigger story going on, right. Much bigger story going on. Yes. And I'd have to say, to my neglect, I didn't quite see even the first year I came on that the storyline of Israel mm-hmm. into this. That was extremely helpful. When I first came on, we were really doing some very strategic panel discussions with various expert leaders in the body of Christ and trying to pull out, you know, just precious truth to carry us forward into another year. So I remember there being there year one. I remember the year we had Dr. Ronnie Floyd,
yes,
who was current president of the Southern Baptist Convention at that time, come and just share a very challenging word mm-hmm. To the entire room. And so every year that we've done this has had kind of a unique marking to it. Yes. And I've just sensed this feeling that the Lord is breathing upon the idea of prayer and missions together in both generations and especially in the young generation for the Great Commission. I mean, Daniel, since I've been a part, every year it's grown. Yeah. The goal isn't necessarily to have a big conference. That was never our goal. It wasn't having as many people as we can get into a room, but the right people in the room.
Yes.
And as the call goes forth, it feels like there's a lot of people that said, I want to be a part of that. I think that's what God's calling me into. I mean, I think even just in the latter years, it wasn't just those that we had business leaders and we had marketplace leaders and local church leaders and house of prayer leaders, and seeing those streams come together. So there were some very intentional unity moments of bringing denominations, generations, and then different vocations together for the story.
Yep. So when we begin to interact with you and Jim and many other leaders of your caliber, all that is clear to us is that there is a generation of Christian leaders that God has prepared with a deep value and the reality of prayer. And you are ready to lead. You're ready to lead in a major way. And, you know, in the body of Christ, obviously, very honoring to the senior leaders that is still God putting in place in the body of Christ. But that gave us a passion to say that the voice of the emerging generation of leaders need to be heard, and we need to find all the important elements to help them and empower them to run effectively, at the same time not repeating the mistake that's been made by the previous generation. So I remember we sat down, prayed together as a facilitating team, and the Lord gave us a 3 years development process for passing on the culture of prayer to the next generation leaders. We came up with a 3 years of thematic sequencing. The first year, 2016, was more about how do a young leader start to be locked in and captivated by this core value of prayer, and then sustain it over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. The longer we go, the more real it becomes. Not so much the longer you go, it fizzle away because we get distracted by all the growth and the good things in ministry, which easily happen.
Easily.
So distraction would come. You know, you can start up on fire at 25, at 35. You could be so off track. It could happen to anyone. How do we help encourage and develop? What are the value? What are the principle that will help a leader say, you know what, at 20 I received the vision to be a man and a woman of prayer. At 65, I am more a man and woman of prayer than I was when I was 25. We were just talking to Mike Bickle the other day, and he said 1979 was important to him because it was a year he committed to lead daily prayer meeting. And it's 2019, it's 40 years later, the man of God is still sitting in the prayer room praying more than ever.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind there's people that are probably going to be listening to this podcast. Yes. They're still trying to figure out who they are, and they have this sense that they're to be given more to prayer, but they just don't know, how do I do that, where I'm at now, and can I really, is this really a thing that I can do long term? And so, but the answer is yes. And we have now, we have senior leaders that have modeled that, like Mike Bickle and others.
Yes,
that, Pastor Ronnie Floyd and
Graham Lotz.
And Graham Lotz.
Remarkable. These are leaders who have the reality in their life, under their belt. And as we say, we all want to know what's the secret sauce.
Yes.
You know, it's not just secret sauce to have the spark for a short moment, but longevity, sustainability through the thick and thin and the challenges. And so stay tuned to our podcast, because we will be unfolding a lot of this principle with live story and experiences and practical handles that will be coming your way, you know, throughout the year 2019 and 2020 as you track with us on this podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, and I wish we can be all in the same room running together, but in a world like the global village like us, we have to use tools like this to communicate.
You know, but I would say if you are listening to the podcast and there is a way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out via email, the website. We want to serve you because you're part of the story. You're now part of the family, this prayer family, this prayer and Great Commission story together. And so if you're listening, please reach out, talk to us. We want to help.
In fact, you know, it is in our hearts. We haven't said it publicly, but it's our dream. We have now over 1,500 leaders that have been tracking with us using this platform with the Leadership Summit. But if these 1,500 leaders all have 1,000 people they're influencing, this is over 1 million people that is in this sphere of influence. And if all these over 1 million people are really taking prayer as a core conviction and reality and a core value of their spirituality, that's going to be a revolution of expression of Christianity wherever you're at, because of this reality that's inside a vessel of God. And so we were very zealous in 2017 to say, is it sometimes not enough for one leader to be a catalytic vessel who have this life of prayer? He has to multiply himself. His zeal has to be contagious. But just like parenting, sometimes the most gifted parents do not necessarily pass down their skill to their kids, even though they grow up in the same house. There need to be some principle, right? So Malachi, we talk about some principle of multiplying leaders with the same value with us. And you know, that year you came in and you facilitated some discussion, and I remember that you contributed by because you also look at leaders of like Ronnie Floyd and others, and you look at them from afar, you look at them from near, you study their life, and you have some very transferable principle. Do you want to like just share a little bit?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that anyone listening to this, we've said this before, if you want to, and I didn't originate this quote, but if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Wow. And one of the greatest things Jesus ever did in his ministry was he multiplied leaders. He discipled those that would carry the message forth. This multiplication of leaders has always been God's plan. And we learn from Jesus himself that it was life on life, this with these 12 guys that he was really, they picked up. They failed many times. We know that.
There was a lot of glitches along the way.
A lot of glitches. And that's good. Actually, that's encouraging for those of us that can say that sounds like the story of my life. A lot of glitches. But Peter especially. But you know, Jesus gave his life, poured it into 12 guys, and it multiplied. And so being around major leaders, some of the transferable principles I have seen is that they are the real leaders. They are the same thing in public as they are in private.
That is remarkable.
That is something that I think the Lord sees it and honors it. And so you have public and private, and then leaders that make impact. Because there's a lot of people that from a distance can wow us. Mm-hmm. But you get close, you're not nearly as
impressed.
Yes. But great leaders in the body of Christ that make eternal kingdom impact have a secret life with God.
Amen.
A secret life with God. Every great leader has a secret life. I heard a story about Dick Eastman.
Yes.
I've actually been to the church where it's rumored that this is where the boiler room in that church where he really started really praying. I've actually been in that boiler room. It was just a boiler room. But, you know, I've heard that a couple times in his lifetime, Dick Eastman has given an entire month to prayer.
Yes.
An entire month. And even just recently, he just did that. So great leaders are same in public and private. They have a secret walk with God. I think great leaders, they really have a heart for the Great Commission.
Mm.
They contribute in different ways, but they have a heart to see the nations know Jesus and worship Jesus.
Remarkable. That is so true. As you were saying, I remember, as you were sharing, I remember how Jesus himself prayed all night with the disciple waiting for him. They knew he prayed all night before he chose them. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's at the tail end of his time with them on the earth. He was just trying to get an hour with them. You know, will you watch with me for an hour? And they had too big a meal and they were sleepy. They couldn't even do that 1 hour. But yet, not too long after that, when they were tarrying in Jerusalem in obedience to the word of Jesus, they did it. You know, they were in the upper room, they were praying together in one accord, and the mighty rushing wind came. So Jesus managed eventually through all the different things that he has instituted and trained with the principle we can learn from Jesus, that he managed to multiply disciples that pray, just like he prayed. Disciple that yielded to the Father's will, just like he does. So that's what we focus on in 2017. And then 2018, because this is about movements. We all have, I remember in the room, there were marketplace people who wants to develop movement in the business world, in the marketplace, from the place of prayer. There were compassionate ministry leaders there. There were local church leaders there. There were prayer ministry leaders, the house of prayer leaders there. There were just leaders from a variety of different spheres there, but they all wanted to see catalytic movements that is sustainable over time, because of prayer. And so we begin to discuss that in the latest, the most recent leadership summit. And we're going to explore those principles even more. And looking forward, the One Thing Global Leadership Summit will move its location, its convening location, to an international location outside North America from the time frame of 2020 to 2022. And we will be sharing with you where we will be convening. Right now, we are in prayer and with some key partners in Latin America and Europe. And the Lord is revealing to us a step by step how to lay that forth. When there is concrete confirmation, you will be receiving from us an invitation to join us and to join with the leaders from around the world for the 7 One Thing Global Leadership Summit.